Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Warriors have it. Left to right they go. Draymond Green back on the floor with Butler, Pajemski, and Kuminga. The starting five out there now to close. Butler sends Pajemski away. Throws to Draymond. Draymond pass to Pajemski. Back to Draymond. Over to Butler. Ball going side to side. Curry can't get free, so Butler goes to work to Draymond. Has to take a corner three, and it's good! Draymond Green! A clutch triple right there. 108-99.
Bay Area is Draymond Green. You're listening to Willer and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
I tell you this, it's very rare after a Warrior game that I feel this way. We're going to go to the phones in just a sec.
Yeah.
But like, go through the whole list of players who played. And let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's 11 players who got on the floor.
Yep.
I mean, Guy Santos had 3 minutes. So, like, whatever. Thank you. And Quentin Post, I don't know that he really had an impact. He had 9 minutes. He never shot the ball.
Nope.
Grabbed a couple boards. So if you want to point to those two guys, you can. But whatever. Like, of the nine people who logged actual minutes.
Real minutes, yeah.
You know what I mean? I thought everybody was at least passable. Like, nobody went out there and had what I would refer to as a poor night. I would give that acknowledgement to all of them, wouldn't you?
I would. I mean, Al Horford was, it wasn't great. And
fine.
I mean, he ran around, and he did what he did.
5 points, 5 boards.
Sure. I mean, 1 for 4 from three, and he's going to be your stretch five. But and he only played 20 minutes, which is about what you would expect. And I thought Will Richard in his debut in the NBA was good, but if you look at the plus-minus, it was not spectacular. Yeah. But I do think about the cut that Grandy played coming in. Draymond Green, he hit the big three, and that was the three that was kind of the, I call it the Whitney Houston three. You're waiting to exhale. And he hit that three, and it's like, okay, you're back up nine.
Right.
And, yeah, okay, great. And Draymond Green with a triple single, and he was a plus 20. That was an absolute classic. Draymond Green, I don't need to score 17. I don't need 14 rebounds. I don't need 11 assists. I'm Draymond. And when I'm out there, things go well. And that moment, when he hit the three, I went from right in front of the TV to, all right, do I have pots and pans left?
Yeah.
Do I still have the counters?
Yeah.
I'm back to dishes.
Back to chill.
Back to dishes.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, though, it's, you know, stats are so funny. And I get where you're coming from. It's like fun to say. It's a triple single. It's like a couple ticks away from being a triple double. Like,
but it's not.
I know, but how different would you feel if he had one more bucket, one more assist, you know, 3 more rebounds, 8 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds? That's pretty good basketball game.
It's damn good basketball, and it's a triple single. And I only say triple single, and I'm the first one to come up with that here in this market or any market.
Congrats.
And it's not derisive. It is more of a tip of the cap to the fact that he can go 9-8-7 with 4 steals and 3 blocks. And I know he didn't have that last night, but it doesn't matter like whether or not he has the eye-popping stats. When he plays, you win. End of my TED Talk, as you like to say.
Yeah. I mean, make your free throws starting tomorrow.
Nah.
1 for 3, though.
Meh.
Whatever.
Meh.
Yeah. Do you know that people not named Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry shot 40% from the free throw line last night?
Is that 2 for 5?
Yeah. That's only 5 free throws by anyone else on the team.
Yeah.
Draymond went 1 for 3. Jonathan went 1 for 2. Nobody else went to the line.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler 16 for 16, yep. And that was one of those nights where, like, there was so much flopping going on that, like, Marcus Smart and Luka.
Marcus Smart.
And Jimmy Butler.
Good Lord.
And, like, Steph Curry, every time he goes to the basket, he falls down. Every time Steph Curry shoots a layup, he goes to the ground, and I get it, because he's not the biggest guy in the gym, but also falling down... Shout out Michael Douglas. It actually is a pretty good strategy.
That's what I used to do. I couldn't jump. So, like, if you block my shot, I'm going to fall down. The percentage of that getting a whistle was unbelievable in high school. Unbelievable.
And it was 90, last night.
95% of the time. You fall down.
I thought that Too Short was refereeing that game. Blow the whistle.
8-8-9.
That first half was a Too Short spectacular.
Yeah, it was. It absolutely was.
Like, oh my God.
All right, let's go to the phones. The Giants have a new manager. It is an historic hire. Tony Vitello from the University of Tennessee will be their manager. He's going to be introduced formally next Thursday. Not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow. Brock Purdy practiced today, but on a limited basis, and it sounds less than likely for him this week. Ricky Pearsall and Deommodore Lenore among those not practicing for the 49ers today as they start their week, counting down to the Houston Texans, and Greg Cosell of NFL Films will be along here in just about 7 or 8 minutes. Let's go to Jonathan in the city. Jonathan, thank you for the call. What's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my phone call, guys. I just, first impression is really huge on me, and I like what I saw yesterday, especially from Jonathan Kuminga. It looked like it was a bird set free, man. He wasn't looking to do his thing because he wants to get paid. Now that he's got the nookie, he's just going with the flow organically. You know, he's doing what the game, the Warriors, the system ask him to do. Hey, grab more of those rebounds, man. Be consistent at that, and that's going to be great for the Warriors. Another takeaway is Horford. That's another guy they got from free agency and fits, you know. And also, this is my biggest takeaway. Steph Curry not getting taxed, not having to carry the team, that's going to be great for the Warriors. I'm hoping to see more of that. Hopefully Melton, you know, when he comes back and be like that guy we saw in a very few games we saw with him two, 3 years ago, and also Steph's brother. And looking like the Warriors are going to be a team with depth. First game, one game down, 81 to go. Let's go, Dubs.
Jonathan, thanks. Yeah, that was something that kept bouncing around in my mind, too, which is you're watching them get meaningful minutes. I'm not going to say they were sparkly or anything, but meaningful minutes from their bench players last night. Buddy Hield was, you know, shot the ball well, 5 of 10 from deep. We've mentioned Will Richard a couple times. GP2 was his normal self. There's a couple of weird plays out there, but, you know, some good defensive plays, couple of dunks, you know, at the rim. Okay, that was really good. Horford, all right, that's kind of a stabilizing presence. He's going to get some boards, maybe knock down a 3. You see all of that, and then you go, oh, wait, this team's going to add Moses Moody. And then this team's going to add DeAnthony Melton.
In a month.
Right.
Yep.
And then, you know, somewhere along the line, I don't know if he'll play, but then a shooter like Seth Curry is going to join this team. I was struck by the options that they will have to have professionalism go out on the court and give them quality NBA minutes.
And you even had TJD last night who didn't play, and Pat Spencer, who we know can get in there and be feisty for 8 to 12 minutes, and he can contribute. So you talk about the depth, and it's going to be a rotating cast of characters in the depth. Will Richard, who you know I love, And apologies to everyone else in the station. I had him first.
Okay.
Grandy and I, we're going to co-author it. And
I had him third, whatever.
Whatever, it doesn't even matter until it matters, until he keeps playing well, and then I will entrench myself even deeper in the fact that, Grandy and I had it first. But, yeah, he played 13 minutes last night, and in a month he might not play at all. And he might go to the G League for a month. And, you know, your depth is going to be a rotating cast of characters. Your depth will be Buddy Hield and Al Horford and GP2.
And Melton.
And Melton eventually, sure. And Horford will start and Kuminga won't or whatever. And Pods will go to the bench. The key is you're going to have eight or nine guys who, when healthy, they're your dudes. And then the other six or seven, they're going to be the rotating cast of characters.
Greg Cosell in 5 minutes. Real quick, Austin in San Jose. Austin, we don't have a lot of time, but what's up?
I know. Hey, man, thanks for getting me in. Well, I really, really appreciate it. Well, listen, I just wanted to give a little comedy my buddy Dibs. Hey, Dibs, when I saw Cos guarding Luka last night, he reminded me of when you were guarding Lo Deal at the Chase Center when you guys did that little scrimmage. Remember you guarding him? And so when I see Pods guarding guys, he kind of reminds me of when you, how you were guarding Lo Deal, if you know what I'm saying.
But I do, AK, Austin, yeah.
JK, I'm ecstatic, man, as a JK follower, but I'm not surprised. I knew he could do it. The question is, why did it take so long? Well, I mean, was it all on JK? Was he going to give any blame to your buddy Kerr? Just curious. All right, man, I'll keep listening. Thank you.
All right, Austin, thanks. Yeah. I mean, so
to
first
think
of all,
that Lo'Neal is Luka Doncic, you get a one for that.
Well, but if you're Pods, maybe you to Pods is Lo'Neal to Doncic.
I was Lafitte Pinkai Jr. going up against Zion Williamson. That's a little bit more of an accurate comp.
I don't want to duck the question. I don't love the subject matter. I don't want to spend time this year with who was right and who was wrong between Steve Kerr and Jonathan Kuminga. I also don't think that we can judge that off of a basketball game. But I'm not going to duck the question. Greg Cosell's about to join us. We'll circle back to that. Austin, stay tuned. We'll answer it. We're sponsored by Frontier Ford. Lease a 2025 Mustang Mach-E Premium with extended range for just $299 a month at Frontier Ford. Hundreds of new and pre-owned Fords in stock and ready to roll. Find Frontier Ford on Stevens Creek in Santa Clara or online at frontierford.com. Greg Cosell, NFL Films. What did he think of Mac last week? What about another one? What about Kittle's performance and how it changed the whole field? What will the pass rush look like without Bryce Huff? We're going to get to all of that with Greg Cosell of NFL Films next on Willard and Dibs.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radnor, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Yeah, that's a great question because I think that, you know, it's a great question and a hard question to answer.
On 95.7 The Game.
All right, it's one of our favorite times of the week. Greg Cosell, NFL Films, he directed you, Dan Dibley, last week to work on your material. Did you?
Oh, I did, yeah. And I've got a couple for him, but I'm going to wait, though, Greg, because we've got serious.
Are we doing a little stand-up? We doing a little stand-up comedy today, guys?
Yeah. Maybe at the end, yeah. Sir, but we've got some serious football to talk. We got some 21 personnel. We got some George Kittle blocking to talk about. We need to get deep in the weeds, Greg.
How about Jimmy Butler going 16 for 16 from the free throw line?
Let's talk about it, Greg. Let's break down those dubs.
I can appreciate it because I was a 90% free throw shooter in college, so I can appreciate it.
Wow.
Is the free throw the single easiest act in all of pro sports?
I can't speak to all pro sports, you know. All I know is I was a good free throw shooter. Yeah, I was a good shooter overall.
I feel like that was a divisive comment, Dan.
It really wasn't. Yeah,
like the guy says he's really good at free throws, and your next comment is, isn't that the easiest thing to do in all of sports? That's divisive.
It's the most unguarded act outside of the serve in tennis and the tee shot in golf. The ball is not moving. You control it, and it's a 15-footer repeatable.
You know, guys, it's funny you said that. That's why I could never play golf, because I just couldn't rationally understand why you couldn't hit a perfect shot all the time because the ball is not moving. I mean, I played baseball, and I couldn't intellectually understand why I couldn't hit a line drive every time. So imagine how I felt up playing golf where the ball doesn't move, you know?
I mean, having you exactly. break, I would actually, I would pay, Greg, to hear you break down after a golf shot, like what happened. What happened and why the ball went off into the trees?
Well, you probably don't want to pay for that because I would have no idea. But, you know, I actually played golf when I was like 10 or 11 years old, and I was pretty good at it. But then I discovered basketball. So because I'd always played baseball, but golf fell by the wayside.
There you go. He was a free throw machine. He's Greg Cosell from NFL Films. All right. As Dan said, let's talk some football here, I guess, if
all
we have
to. All right, let's do that.
No, obvious question. Why'd they run the ball so well, Greg?
I mean, I think there's a couple of factors. First of all, I think the Kittle factor is huge. I think the fact that he can block on the outside one-on-one allowed for a lot more double teams inside in the run game. And I think when you get those double teams, obviously you can move people. I mean, keep in mind, in this game, how many runs came inside? Almost 65% of McCaffrey runs versus the Falcons came inside between the tackles. That was the foundation of the 49ers run game. And, of course, we know they're a base personnel offense. So 17 of McCaffrey's 24 rushes came out of 21, 22, and 12 personnel. So it was just a really strong effort, and I think you know, what Kittle brings to the table. And there's a lot of plays where he didn't necessarily make a block where he went, wow, that's George Kittle. He's the reason for the play. But he's capable of blocking edge defenders, first-level edge defenders, one-on-one.
And is the Kittle threat as much a part of this to where, you know, he's out there and you've got Juszczyk who can either be in the backfield or on the line of scrimmage. But the fact that Kittle's out there, does that give the defense a little bit more of a pause to where they can't totally sell out for the run?
I mean, I certainly don't know. That's a hard question to answer because you don't know what's in their mind and how the defensive coordinator is preparing to do that. But, you know, I think obviously I don't even think Kittle was targeted in the game. It was an odd game because this was not Mac Jones' best game by any stretch of the imagination. But they so physically dominated up front in the run game. I mean, they physically beat up the Falcons. But they do some really cool things with motion. They use this kind of Juszczyk's return motion where he was kind of in a wing alignment. Then he would start in the backfield. Then he'd return and go back. I mean, they get to runs in a very creative way. You know, they get to base runs in very creative ways because there's not 500 runs. So it's just a matter of how you choose to get to them, who you use to make the blocks, is there motion, is there not. You know, Kyle Shanahan's always been an absolute master at doing those kinds of things. But, you know, as I said, Mac Jones, and it turned out, look, they only scored 20 points, and the final touchdown came late in the game, right after a play call that was clearly specific to that situation when they hit McCaffrey, I think, for 17 yards on 3rd and 13. But like I said, this was just not Mac Jones at his best. I didn't think he was the higher level post-snap operator that usually defines his play. I thought his eyes were not in the right place sometimes, but that happens. I mean, you know, I think what a lot of people forget, because quite frankly, there's not there's only 17 games. So people want their team to be great for 17 games. You know, every guy to be great. That's just a really hard thing to do in the NFL. So sometimes you have to win different ways. If you can only win one way, it's hard to be a really good team. You know, it's just not going to happen that way every week. You can't just win one way every week.
Greg, I bet a lot of our listeners are thinking to themselves, wait a minute, I'd love to hear more about why you saw this as maybe not Mac Jones' best week, because I think the perception for most is, well, not a whole lot was asked of him because they ran the ball so well. And the two only, like, I think, pass plays that Niner fans remember wanting back are the interception, which was on Juwan right off of his hands,
right,
and DeMarcus
right.
Robinson had the drop. So what did right. you see Mac not do well, I guess, in this game?
Well, like I said, I thought that, and this is my interpretation, maybe Kyle Shanahan would say I'm wrong, and that could very well likely be the case. But I thought, to me, there were times I thought his eyes were not necessarily in the right place quickly enough based on the route concept versus the coverage. And I remember, you know, I worked for years with Ron Jaworski, and he would always tell me, he said, there were two games a year where for whatever reason, I just didn't see it the right way. And I always remembered that statement. To me, Mac Jones, look, I doubt they went into this game. No coach goes into a game. You guys know this. You've been doing this long enough to know that. No coach goes into a game and tells the quarterback, you know what, we're not going to ask you to do very much this week. No coach goes into a game saying that. Now, obviously, they wanted to come out and run the ball, and it was very effective. But keep in mind, they only scored two touchdowns. And like I said, the final touchdown came with, what, less than 3 minutes to go in the game. It was a one-score game with 3 minutes to go. So there's no way we can look at the result, and once we have access to the result, it's easy to say a whole lot of things, but there's no way that Kyle Shanahan went into the game saying, hey, Mac, you're not going to have to do very much this week, you know, so don't worry about it. He didn't say that.
No, but when he needed to make that play, and I want you to walk us through that 3rd and 13 that you've referenced now twice, where it's yep. CMC who is able to break free. By my eye, Atlanta only rushed 3. They dropped 8 into coverage. What happened on that play that made McCaffrey able to get in and get that touchdown?
Yeah, well, that was basically an empty set. And what they've been doing with McCaffrey, and they've started this the last couple of years, is they line him up in kind of, I'm sure they have a name for it, I don't know what it is, but they line him up kind of offset wide, but a deep slot. Okay, I'm sure you can picture it because they do this a lot. So it's essentially an empty set. And I think one of the reasons they do that with McCaffrey is because instead of just having him in the normal offset position in the backfield, when you release from there, a team can disrupt him. They can jam him with a defensive end, you know, and what I always called the bullseye technique. So now when you put him out there, he can't be disrupted in his route. So what the Falcons did is they essentially – they played man-to-man coverage just on the outside receivers and then played 5 zone defenders inside. And the play was designed for McCaffrey. He ran the seam inside of safety Bates, who ended up sort of being a deep third defender the way the Falcons played the coverage. And the secondary read was Kittle. Kittle was running a sit route right in front of Mac Jones. And Mac Jones saw the linebacker, Caden Ellis, turn his body inside. And as soon as Ellis turned his body inside, he could not play the throw to McCaffrey. And McCaffrey had the leverage on Bates, who was outside of him. So it became, in some ways, pitch and catch. Now, I think the Falcons may have only had 10 defenders on the field,
that
but I'm
is
not
correct.
Sure.
No, oh, that God. Is correct, yeah. Greg. And I wonder how you saw that affecting the outcome of the play.
Yeah, I mean, they were missing a player. So they were missing a pass rusher. They weren't missing a coverage player. They were missing a pass rusher.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films, with us as we go through not only last week's game with the Niners, but also what's coming up, which is the Houston Texans. Before we do any of that, let's go to the other side of the ball, because I think Niner fans were really pleasantly surprised that the pass yep. rush seemed to return. So, A, what did you see them do there? And, B, what is it going to mean to now do it without Bryce Huff?
He's definitely out, huh?
Yep, he's going to be out. It sounds like maybe at least a couple weeks, but definitely this one.
Huh. Well, it's funny because for the second consecutive game, they relied a high percentage of the time on their four-man D-line pass rush. They did not really blitz a lot. They only rushed five or more on seven of Penix's 42 dropbacks. Now, the blitz was effective when they did it. We'll see with Huff out if Robert Saleh decides that he needs to blitz more. They played a lot more of man coverage, cover one, in this game than had been their season average through the first six games. Now, that may have been team-specific because the Falcons, I mean, London's a nice receiver, but he's not necessarily a vertical threat, so it could have been a function of the Falcons lacking big-time wide receivers and also Penix essentially being a pure pocket quarterback who's not necessarily going to beat you with his legs. So that could have been opponent specific, but I thought they used stunt concepts really effectively. I think they deployed more, a higher volume of stunt concepts than they normally do, and I thought they had really good success. The other thing that I think is really worth pointing out is I thought Bethune really showed up on film. I thought he played really, really well.
Yeah, they were aggressive, certainly. And the one thing I was looking at, Greg, and maybe you can either corroborate or deny, but it looked like when they did blitz, they were doing a lot more of the traditional zone blitz where two guys would be added and two defensive linemen would be dropping to try to confuse the quarterback. Is that what you saw, and is that something that might work against C.J. Stroud?
Yeah, I mean, those very often when you do that, you still end up rushing four, and those are usually called simulated pressures, because what a simulated pressure is when you still rush four, not more, but just four, but one or more of the rushers is a second or third level defender, and you have defensive linemen drop out. So, you know, that can be confusing. You can do that sometimes, too, when you understand how a team protects, and you can get a pass rusher on maybe a linebacker on a running back, because just the way they protect and you understand that. In fact, there was a play in this game. There might have been a penalty on it on the 49ers, but there was a pass rush by Bethune where he just blew up and ran through Bijan Robinson. And yet I believe there was an illegal contact penalty called on Lenore on that play. So it didn't necessarily count, but it was there. It's there on the film. But there's multiple ways to pressure the quarterback where you don't have to rush five or six. And, you know, I think they'll do that this week because, quite frankly, the Texans' offense right now is not very good at all, and neither is C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, and we're going to get to that for sure, especially they may be down their best receiver. Nico Collins is in the concussion protocol. One more on the Niner offense, though. There's been so much made about their interior offensive line struggling. Jake Brendel goes out. Matt Hennessy comes in, and it looked like the returns were pretty good. What did you see there?
Yeah. Well, I think it's the way they played, too, that was really effective because, as I said, there were a lot more double teams. And I think when you do that, you really help your O-line. I think Colby went out for some snaps as well, and I forget who came in and played for him, but I know he was out for, I don't know, maybe 10, 12 snaps.
It was Nick Zakel who came in, yeah.
Right. So, I think it just helped, you know, when you double team, you help your O-line. So this was the best O-line performance in the run game of the season, clearly. I mean, we saw it right from the start. I mean, McCaffrey didn't break one for 30 or 40 yards, but I'm sure he had a number of 10-plus yard runs in the game, which he did. And you could see right away that he just, you know, he was getting through the first level of the defense pretty cleanly. There was a lot of clearance on a lot of those runs.
And defensively, no Bosa and no Fred Warner, and you mentioned Tatum Bethune, and Dee Winters was pretty formidable as well. What did you think of the Niner front seven in general against a team that normally is able to do a lot more on the ground?
Yeah, and the thing that was surprising to me, and you know, some games this is just what happens with coaches, is it kind of gets away from them, it snowballs. In a game that was close, They had Penix drop back, you know, over 40 times, and they only gave the ball to Bijan Robinson 14 times. You know, and as I said, sometimes that just gets away from teams as the game progresses. But I would have thought they would have given the ball to Robinson more, even Algier. I mean, they have a very good run game with two backs, and Robinson is arguably, to me, the best back in the league right now. But they didn't do that. So I think that helped the Niners, quite frankly.
Hey, Greg, what's going on with the Houston Texans offensive line? Just a layman's view. They look terrible so far this year.
Yeah, they haven't been good, and that's impacted Stroud. It started last year, so it's really impacted Stroud because he's truly a pocket quarterback at his core. So now he's been hesitant. He's been tentative. I think he's anticipating that he's going to get pressure, so he starts to play fast physically, and that slows down his mental process. So right now he's not seeing things with the needed clarity and quickness that he did as a rookie 2 years ago when it looked like he was on his way to being a great player. There's times he, quite frankly, looks a little lost in the pocket. He's just not a comfortable player. So obviously the O-line is a factor, but the bottom line result is Stroud is a truly uncomfortable player right now who's just not seeing it the way he has to, and he's just playing very fast physically.
And would you look at that regression? And I think he has regressed, and I don't want to get all fantasy football on you, but I had him last year on my team, and he regressed last year, and this year he looks even worse. Would you say it's the offensive line, the scheme around him? What would you pinpoint from what you see on film as to why C.J. Stroud has taken a step back, Greg?
Well, I think the offensive line part, you know, I think when you're a quarterback and you feel and your O-line is not functioning at the level it needs to consistently, I think it's just human nature. You probably start to anticipate that you're going to be pressured. And since you don't have a lot of time anyway, that starts to speed you up physically. And believe it or not, there's an inverse correlation there. When you speed up physically, you can't slow down mentally. You know, the great quarterbacks, you know, you hear it all in all sports. You hear it in basketball. You hear in all sports that, oh, the game slowed down. You know, and when you're feeling like, boy, I've got to play fast physically, it's hard for the mental part to slow down. And I think that's, again, I'm interpreting what I see on film. I can't say for sure what's in C.J. Stroud's head, but I think he's clearly just looking at him, watching the tape. He's just playing too fast.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films with us on Willard and Dibbs. I do like the Houston defense. And obviously,
yeah,
this is right. This is DeMeco Ryans against Robert Saleh here in a way. I know that obviously they're not going head to head, but do these defenses, do they look similar to you when you look at them on film?
I think that DeMeco Ryans, and again, maybe I'm wrong, but I think DeMeco Ryans, since he's been in Houston, has done a little more on third down than Robert Saleh does. Now, that could also be just a function of personnel, but I think he's a little more aggressive with pressure concepts on third down than normally than Robert Saleh is. But I'm sure there's a lot of terminology that's the same. You know, when you play this team, and again, this is a classic case where you have a quick timing and rhythm pass game of the 49ers where the ball, if everything is working properly, the ball comes out because they've got two edge rushers in Hunter and Anderson. Anderson is one of the top three speed to power rushers in this league, and he's going to go up against Colton McKivitz, who at times struggles in one-on-one protection. But if the Niners are playing their game, and part of playing their game means they're running the ball with sustainability, then Mac Jones can be a quick timing rhythm thrower and not have a lot of deeper drops where the pass rush becomes a big factor in the game.
Looking at Houston on tape, Greg, does this match up for the 49ers to have another run-heavy game? I'm looking at some of the advanced metrics, and it looks like Houston has one of the better pass defenses, but their run defense is kind of middle of the road. Would you look at the film and think, not that you're Shanahan, you would never put yourself in his mind, I know that, but looking at the film, do you see this as maybe a more run-heavy approach for the Niners based on what you've seen?
Well, I think my sense, guys, is that they want to run every week as a foundation. You rarely see the Niners by choice. I'm saying by choice, where they're in control of a game, have the quarterback throw 45 times by choice. You know, some games dictate if you're behind or if just the flow of a game, you get into a certain flow. But I don't think that they too often, if I don't want to say if ever, that would be silly, but I don't think they think in terms of, you know what, this is a throw ball game for us. I don't think they think like that. I think they believe they're a base personnel offense predominantly with two backs in McCaffrey and Juszczyk, and I think they feel now that certainly with Kittle being there that they can put together a creative run game working off a lot of the base concepts that they run and that they can control the game, control the pace and tempo, sustain offense, and have Mac Jones work off of that. Now, again, are you going to get to third and long? Of course. You know, every game has some third and longs. But I don't think they're going to come out and think, oh, no, we got to toss it around the yard. I don't think they ever think like that.
Did you see on film, speaking of Kittle, who had two targets, no catches, was that just sort of circumstantial? Or did you see that the Niners were actually holding him back to be a blocker more often than not and help that run game?
My guess is it's somewhat circumstantial. I don't know that for a fact, you know, because I don't know how they put together the offense. But, you know, because they're not truly a passing team in a strict sense where it's like three, four guys have to get a bunch of targets in any given week, I think that game just played out that way. Look, I would imagine based on what happened up to this game, this past game that against the Falcons, I would doubt that anybody thought, right, that McCaffrey was going to go 24 for 129, right? Did you guys think that was going to be the case based on what happened in, you know, up to this point in the season? Probably not.
I had him for 134 yards, yeah. Greg. That was my prediction.
And actually, Greg, I don't ever try to make these prognostications. I just really rely on the film.
There you go. But, yeah, I don't think that anybody thought that they would now, they came out to control the game like that. I mean, clearly, that was their game plan. And it worked. Now, there's always a plan B, guys. What happens if McCaffrey was gaining 1-2 yards on every run early in the game? There's always a plan B.
Yep.
Of course there is.
Yep.
But
oh, yeah.
They didn't need to get to the plan B really very much in this game, just the way it played out. But their defense had a lot to do with that as well, because their defense didn't give up a lot of points. So they could stay with what plan A was.
Greg, just great stuff as always.
Oh, awesome, Greg.
Even though I thought that maybe that was a little bit of a courtesy laugh for Dibs there, but other than that.
No, it was sincere.
Okay.
It was sincere.
Right. I worked on my material, Greg. Yeah. I worked on it.
Yeah, it was sincere.
Thank you.
Liked it.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, I liked it because it was organic, you know. You can't work on that stuff. You know, it has to just be organic.
That's right. You just have to be ready.
Yeah.
And then you know, when opportunity knocks, you gotta knock it out of the park.
Exactly.
No doubt. Yeah.
All right. Exactly.
Okay, Greg, more opportunities coming up next week. Thank you so much as always.
All right, guys, appreciate it. Thank you.
There he goes.
Greg
Cosell, NFL Films. He had a good chuckle out of him there.
A little three or four pack, you know. it was more than just the classic map.
What's in your material?
And I did. Yeah.
You went to the lab. And we could do.
The two cackle is the fake one. But if you get to three or four, I think it's real. So
we have to do what Greg would do and review the tape to see if it was two, three, or four. Ah, that sounds like three. Anyway, Steve Kerr, in just over an hour, back to your Warrior phone calls. Don't leave out Tony Vitello either. The Giants have a new manager. Don't leave out the Niners either. Pearsall not practicing. Lenore not practicing. Brock Purdy limited. Warrior Wednesday brought to you by Friedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances in live working vignettes. Visit Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. We're also brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. It's Willard and Dibs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radnor, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Curry with the ball. Guarded by Doncic, switched. High pass, good catch by Kuminga, right corner. Up top to Draymond, screen for Curry. It's a three ball, it's up, and it's good! Stephen Curry with his first three of the season. It's 12-9, the Warriors lead.
Dub Nation, it's Stephen Curry. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. And you can see us live on YouTube and Twitch right now. Just search 95.7 The Game and make sure to subscribe.
Fact check.
Yeah.
Those things are all true.
They are
yeah,
all true.
All those things are true. I just checked. So yeah, you could join in on YouTube right now. There's a bunch of people over there.
Yep.
Some of them are even in the chat saying nice things.
Really?
I think today's a nice things day.
It should be.
Yeah.
Giants, like new manager.
Yeah.
You can't hate on him yet.
The Warriors are undefeated.
And the Niners are coming off a very impressive, like,
gosh,
the first one since New Orleans. Like, yeah, you deserved it. Like, I have a daughter who's three, and she goes through a day where she listens. I'm yisting now. She listens. You eat a good dinner, you get a treat, ice cream, cookie, whatever it is. And that's kind of how I feel about the Niners, where, yeah, you had adversity, you fought through it, you played great, you won a game, you deserve to win, you get a treat,
yeah,
you get ice cream.
Yeah, they do. They deserve a treat, but they don't get a treat. Instead,
no,
they just get more injuries. I don't even understand how the Niners are doing what they're doing. Honestly, I don't get it. They're 5-2. They're probably going to win again this week. Houston's a mess. Where do you see them? Y'all don't realize.
Well, I've been watching.
They're terrible.
Well,
no. Dibs.
They're not terrible.
They're terrible.
They're subpar. There are teams that are, quote, terrible. If you want to look at the advanced metrics defensively, they are one of the best defenses in football.
They're a good defense, and they're terrible.
Well,
like, the collective of who they are is terrible. Like, I mean, Seattle literally tried five different ways to mess that game up Monday and still won by double digits. Houston cannot function offensively.
Well, and offensively, they had a third and inches at midfield, and they didn't get it, and then fourth and inches from midfield, and they didn't get it.
They went backwards.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Seattle scored, and that game flipped, and so... You're right. They're not great. I don't think that they're terrible. If you wanted to make a bucket of terrible, I don't think that they're in there.
They're pretty
bad. If you had four buckets of terrible, not really good, pretty good, and good, like, your pretty good bucket's got probably 14 teams in it. Really good might have four teams in it. Your terrible bucket, to me, only has like four teams in it. And then you're not very good. The Texans are there. There might be 10 teams who are, like, you're not very good.
Well,
and unfortunately,
I mean,
like, the Ravens right now are in that bucket. The Ravens are better than that.
They're about to come out of it.
Well, if Lamar plays.
I think he's playing.
I'm not sure if he's playing.
Well, he practiced today.
Okay, he didn't practice Monday, so he's trending in the right direction.
Yeah.
But you're 1-5, so you've got your work cut out for you. And I do think that if you look, like, you take the records out of it, just on eye test, there are probably four teams where you watch them and you go, oh my God, you're terrible. Like the Saints and the Raiders, you just watch them and they're terrible. The Titans,
the Titans are
1-6.
Yeah,
and
the
only game they won was based on a Benny Hill.
It was totally fluky, but when you say the Raiders are terrible, like,
oh, they're terrible.
I don't see them as very different than the Texans. I really don't.
Yeah.
Like, Houston won two football games this year. It was against those Titans that you just referenced. I think that's the worst team in the NFL. And then they blew out the Ravens when the Ravens were literally missing, I think, their 10 most important players.
Wow.
No, I mean, I'm exaggerating, but not really.
Yeah.
Like, Derrick Henry played, and then that was it. There was no Lamar. There was no nothing. The whole defense was out. They could not function as a franchise, as we watched under Cooper Rush. And you're right, Houston does have a good defense. But the net result of that, like, that's why I was, and you got it too, I was so into Seattle minus the three on Monday night, because Houston was coming off back-to-back wins, and people are like, ooh, Houston figured it out. And I'm like, no, they didn't. Wait till you see them. And they're terrible. They're terrible.
Their offense is terrible. And I go back to the opener where they lost to the Rams 14-9, and the Rams did next to nothing, and the Texans' defense was really good, but they can't score. Three field goals.
Yep.
And you lose to Buccaneers. You got Baker Mayfielded as he did done to like four or five other teams. So that's one of those ones where, all right, Baker gotcha, but then you lose to the Jags 17-10. And the one common denominator in all that, you score 9, 19, and 10.
Yep.
So we talk about the Niners' defense. No Huff, no Bosa, no Warner, maybe no Diamond or Lenore. I don't know if it's going to matter because the Texans' offense is terrible.
Yeah, well, I don't know if anybody can take advantage of the bad offensive line, though, because the Niners have lost all of their pass rushers.
Yeah.
So, I'm not over here peacocking that the Niners are going to blow them out. The Niners are so beset by injuries that maybe that will keep Houston in this. I'm not saying the Niners are going to win the game. We're not getting into that yet. I'm just telling you, Houston's not a good football team. It's not. And Nico Collins is probably out. He's in the protocol and coming off a short week. He did not practice today. All those things add up to he is probably not playing today. And Christian Kirk didn't practice either. The Texans are going to be coming at you with like three rookie receivers. That's what they're going to have to offer. And no offensive line. And a rookie running back combined with a running back who's had his leg completely replaced. I mean, they're just not offering very much on that side of the ball at all.
They're favored.
And they're favored. But favored is favored. You get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that there's 1,000 factors into that. I don't favor the Texans in this game. And I'm not going to ask you if you do, because that would ruin our bid on Friday.
Right.
I don't favor the Texans in this game at all. I don't know yet who's playing for the 49ers, but I don't even think the questions we're waiting for matter as far as whether or not I would favor this team. The Niners are better than the Texans. It's not even close. It's not even close.
You do have a 10 a.m. start for the first time this year.
Okay.
And, you know, because the Tampa game was supposed to be a 10, but it wasn't. So
they could play bad.
Right. You've got a 10 a.m. start, and you don't know who the quarterback will be, even though if it's Mike Jones, Michael McCorkle Jones, he's healthier than he's been in a long time.
Being back.
Right. And so you probably won't have Pearsall. Kittle is going
to
be more of a factor than he was, especially in the pass game. So I look at the two teams respectively, and you know the Niners might be as healthy as Houston, even though they're down two Hall of Famers, and now they're down another pass rusher.
I think Grandy's got something based off of that comment. What do you got?
I was just going to say you should definitely start George Kittle in fantasy this week, Dib.
Yeah. I started him last week, Mark.
That's
with
the
a
joke.
C. And yeah, I still put up the second most points in our little podunk league.
I'm happy for you.
I'm thrilled for myself.
You're not sitting him, are you?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's just a question of whether or not I start. I guess I can't start three tight ends, but if I could, I would.
Why?
I got Engram, and I got you love Kate Otten, and I got Kittle.
You don't need to start Kate Otten. I know he. You don't need to do that.
What's I got to look at the matchup, but that's it, I mean.
You're not going to sit your guy.
No, of course not.
You don't sit your guy.
No.
You play and, your
guy. Well, Tampa doesn't have a. Oh, Tampa's at
New Orleans.
Tampa's
at New Orleans. It's a good matchup.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a good matchup.
Engram is hosting Dallas, and Dallas prefers not to cover anyone.
That's correct, also.
So then I've got Kittle, like 888-957-9570. Who needs a tight end? Because I got a largesse of tight ends.
I probably need one.
Yeah, let's talk off air.
I don't know who the hell I'm starting.
What don't
anymore.
You need?
Whoa! He's a former champ in this league.
Yeah, exactly. How many rings you got on your mantle, Grandy? How many? Count them up.
In this league in particular? Yeah, not many.
Yep. And how many years have you been in it?
This is the
fourth? Probably fourth year.
At least.
Yeah. More than you.
And more.
I want to.
Year two. Champ.
This is year three now.
No, I won it in my second year.
I get it, Mark.
Okay.
I get it. And Lucas, maybe you and I can talk off air about the actual procurement of a trophy. I think it'd be fun if we had one. So we'll work on that.
You can't do it after I already won. You better go get me one from 2 years
ago.
The
trophy would have names on it. There'd be a plaque with names.
Oh, okay. You didn't say that.
It's a trophy that gets handed around. You don't buy a trophy every year.
Maybe.
You buy a big trophy with everyone's name on it and... Stop pointing that at me, Grandy's podunk knockout. Ooh, I can make a free throw.
Yeah.
It's not me. That was Lucas.
I know. Anyway. Yeah, trophy.
Oh, the Jets. We forgot the Jets.
Of course.
Yeah. No, someone on the text line is like, why is Dibs mentioning the Raiders, but not the Jets?
I talked about a bucket of teams.
Yeah, the Jets.
The Dolphins,
the Jets,
the Raiders,
the Titans,
the Saints, and the Titans. I would put the Raiders in that bucket. They've got injuries. They are broken.
I think the Jets and the Titans are over here. I'm going to put them over here. I'm not going to disrespect the Raiders, Saints, and what was formerly known as the Dolphins. I know this week was like, now they're just broken from the inside and they want their coach fired, and Tua wants people to show up. He'd like a leader to show up, and people are like, I don't know, how about you, Tua? So, like, that's getting weird, and so maybe they're getting worse. But to me, the Titans and the Jets, they are over there. They get their own planet. They get their own island that they get to sit on.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Take the Jets money line this weekend.
Who are they playing?
At the Bengals. Kukush.
Money line?
Yeah.
Not the number. The I money mean, you're calling an outright win?
Yep. Outright win. The Jets defense will, they're going to get to Joe Flacco.
They might. And I think, are the Jets starting Tyrod?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, that's your anyway. That's your wild hair money line pick of the week. And Dibberclaw's 21-9, as much as I've been, you know, slipping and sliding, I'm still at 70% for the year. 70%, dog.
Dude, nobody's coming at you. The picks are amazing.
Kloposaurus Rex back there is.
Well, you, let's see, 4, 7, 5. You have lost 5 of 7.
Fine.
It's just facts.
And
you've lost 5 of 7.
I've also won 5 of 10. I was 16-4. So we can all, you can do the Matt Steinmetz thing all you want.
It's not a Matt Steinmetz
thing.
He
is the king of like drawing a line where, dude, you want to draw the
your
line.
Your picks are fantastic. You've done cooled off a little bit. Now get back on the horse. We got a game tomorrow night.
Oh, the pick is in.
Yeah, so stop worrying about the Jets. That's not even one of your games this week.
It's not.
I want you to focus, okay? Look me in the eye. We're going to get back on track.
I'm yocked in.
I tried to pick the pick. That was actually a subtle way of me going, dude, it's favorite night.
Yep.
On Monday night.
And I should have flipped
that
one.
I need you to pick both favorites.
I should have.
So I want you to fade with me.
Yep.
And it worked. So we'll get, it's just, your record is sparkly. It's impressive. It's time to get back on track.
Vikings
That's
at
all.
Chargers tomorrow.
It's
the
a
pick
weird
is
one.
In.
It's a weird one.
It is.
It's a weird one.
It's a non-divisional, funky Thursday night.
Yeah. Carson Wentz is going to play in it.
And the Chargers have like multiple tackles hurt. Like,
oh, all of them.
All their tackles.
No, they've been hurt all year.
But they got another tackle who played and he got hurt.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but the pick is in.
And then all of a sudden their tight end is like the bee's knees. Everybody's like, whoa, we got to get this guy.
I dropped him.
I know. I was shocked.
I was running out of room.
I went into all my other leagues. I'm like, I'm supposed to pick this guy up. And I go, but he's not available in our league because Dibs has got him. And then I went in there and he was available.
He was tight end 4 on my team.
But he went for 1,000 yards last week. Why'd you drop him?
Because I had to start George Kittle. George Kittle.
All right.
All right.
Back to Wiggins.
Back to catches, George.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. And they make good sweatshirts. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.